Welcome to Quirk, a day in the year of a nobody. You have never heard of me. I am Nicholas Quirk, and through the aid of my youthful diaries, I am slipping back in time with you and my friend, Penny Parker.
Nick, it's a sunny, sunny, lovely, lovely day out there.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It's beautiful. Is it similarly sunny in the world of your past?
Well, I've not made any note of the weather, I'm afraid, Penny. So I can't actually tell you whether it is sunny or sad. But mentally, if you're talking about my mental temperature.
Uh-huh, always.
Then I think we're relatively sunny. Good. I think it has its moments. But it is January 1983 and it's a Wednesday. And the alarm went off, is what I've noted here.
Right.
The alarm went off and I have got to pull myself together.
For God's sake, pull yourself together.
So actually maybe the weather wasn't clement.
You weren't inspired to leap from your bed.
Yeah, because the alarm went off at 8:30, I woke. But I was feeling lazy and I went back to sleep and I didn't wake up until 10.
Oh, that's a bad thing.
Well, I'm going to put something out here because I don't know that it is a bad thing, really, Penny. Because I was working in the theatre at night.
So actually
getting up at 8:30 and sleeping till 10, considering I'd probably been working till about 10 o'clock and then I would have had to go out.
Of course.
And then I would have had to, you know, socialise.
Of course.
And then I would have to get home. You know, it's quite a way there to Hampstead, which is where I was living at the time.
I see your reasoning. Maybe 8:30 is ambitious.
Okay. If you're living a regular life, then it's fine.
I feel you judging me for my regular hours.
Although, that having said, I don't think I was out the night before.
You lazy. So,
oh, I was.
Hey.
I was, and I drank cider,
Which
was something that I don't normally drink.
Oh, wow.
So I was quite perturbed by that. And I know it's wrong to be looking at the day before, but I see it here clearly in front of me. And I had been out with Helen, and I'd had an argument with her about Channel 4. So that would have quite exhausted me.
Let's argue about Channel 4. Okay.
Well, I don't think she liked it. It was still relatively new in those days, Channel 4. It only started in the November of 82. But I loved it. Well, of course, because it had Brookside. It had those amazing films, the First Love series. You know, and it was trying to be something different.
There's no argument with me.
No, I'm not arguing with you.
Well, don't.
Helen Nevitt, if you'd like to comment on this.
Give us your reasons.
Yeah, she didn't like it, and that was that. So anyway, I woke at 8:30, slept till 10, I got up and I went to the bank. I did a bit of shopping and I bought Drama, which was a magazine.
No longer on the shelves, presumably.
Well, I don't know. I don't buy it anymore, certainly. Okay. No, I don't think it is. They do different things.
You don't need any more Drama in your
life. But I bought it. And by 11 a.m., I had settled down to some work. So at this particular time, I was also doing some A-levels. I went back to college and did some A-levels, and I was doing an English literature A-level and a theatre studies A-level.
These are easy peasy for you, surely.
I was wrestling with my understanding of a line in a poem by Ted Hughes, which is all about kind of like daybreak. And the line was, "The moon hanging." And I couldn't work out in the poem what that meant.
Maybe we need the line before and the line after to help us along, but...
Well, what I did realise is eventually I had a dream and I woke from the dream and the clarity of the line and what it meant came to me. Because, of course, what it is the debris of a shattered night.
Of course.
And of course, I put that in my essay, and I then had to read the essay out in class because she was so impressed by my understanding.
That came to you in a dream.
That came to me in a dream.
Very good.
Which obviously been puzzling me so much that, you know, I could interpret the other lines, but I couldn't quite work this one out.
I like your study method. Just go to sleep.
Go to sleep.
It'll come to me.
Clarity, light. That's what I always do. People sometimes think I'm napping. What I'm doing is I'm inspiring myself.
You're studying. You're deep in study.
I'm deep in study and I'm inspiring myself.
All right.
Not sleeping at all. And she and Jenny came over and brought some lunch with them.
Very handy. What good guests.
Yes, they were. It was very nice of them. I think I was very poor at the time. They obviously wanted to have lunch.
Well, yeah, bring my own. DIY. It's not happening at Nick's.
Come over, I said. Come over with your food.
Bring enough for me.
Yes, of course. I wasn't vegetarian or vegan in those days.
Oh, well, so much more choice then.
I think lunch would have been a salad and possibly a baked potato.
As we know, these two food sources are your favourites.
Anyway, I had a great time with them and then I left for work. So it was a Wednesday, so I'm wondering if there was a matinee or...
All right.
So obviously they stayed there quite a while.
Hung about.
Took up my lunchtime and my afternoon. Obviously enjoyed it.
Fair dues, they bought the food.
So Kath, I think... Now, Kathy was who I shared the flat with.
Yeah.
So obviously I think at this point she had moved.
Right.
And she may have been living with Tim.
Yeah.
Or she may have moved somewhere else.
Okay.
After this point, I don't know. However, they were gone.
Out of your life.
Jenny had lived downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
She too had gone.
Oh dear.
So I was on my own in that,
mm-hmm.
that house.
Could you afford that?
Well, the flat as it was, the landlady moved her daughter into what was Kath's room, which was a great big huge room and we used as a living room.
Okay.
So I had the kitchen and...
Your room.
And my room.
All right.
So, yeah, I could afford it. It didn't change. Well, that said, though, I was recalcitrant on paying rent.
That's true. You could afford it when you could afford it.
Yeah. I know when I left here, I owed her money, so...
I'm not surprised.
Anyway, we'd had a great time and we left for work. We were very noisy on the bus, which would have been the 24 from Southend Green.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd got off at Leicester Square. But we were very noisy on the bus and we were laughing a lot. And we were laughing about the lad called Adam, who lives downstairs from Kath. Very, very pseudo. So I was mimicking his accent.
Can you remember?
Well, I can probably remember what it was. It was because of what I did for everybody who was slightly pseudo. Yeah, and I talk like this, yeah? Right, okay. What a really... I love your trousers. They're really great. Where did they get them from? Yeah, I love those. Based on a character. I say a character, a person. Mm. A real person. That my brother and I knew. At the Harrogate Art College.
Oh, okay.
My brother was doing a foundation course there and I was doing a theatre studies course. And his name was Robert. Yeah, and he really talked like this all the time. But one of the things he did say was, yeah, I love those trousers. They're really great. So that was, if I thought anybody was slightly pseudo, I would have launched into that voice.
Okay.
In fact, so famous was he became a character in Mine and My Brother's Fantasy Life. So we had the Smees, who were these four brothers, and Robert became a character. Yeah, hi guys. Hi guys. Anyway, I got into work and watched a very bad but highly entertaining Aussie programme. Now, you might think it's very odd that I've gone to work and I'm watching TV.
Straight away. Feet up, telly on.
However, I was working in stage management at the theatre.
Okay.
And so what we would do is the TV would be on in the crew room and then it would come up to our cues and we would then get up and go and shuffle around and do that. But I probably arrived a bit early anyway.
Yeah. All right,
so
good.
So I probably sat myself down and watched a bit of TV.
All right, what's this programme?
Well, I actually haven't said what it is, but it is a Aussie programme that was very bad.
So when you're in this crew room, apart from the TV and stuff like that, presumably radio's on, so you've got music blaring out. Seems like a very noisy place in a theatre.
Well, it was quite set far back, probably somewhere under the auditorium, I would imagine. But yes, we would have listened to music.
And what have we got blaring out these days?
Certainly while I was doing my work in Nick's office, I would have been listening to music. Yeah. Well, on the radio, if it was, you know, we'd have been having, the number one was You Can't Hurry Love, Phil Collins. Which I did quite like, actually.
I know.
I think you weren't supposed to like it, were you?
I don't think you were, but it was very bouncy and jolly.
But obviously lots of people did because it was number one. Down Under by Men at Work, a little Aussie band. Story of the Blues, Wah, which I really like that.
Yeah.
Electric Avenue. I was going to try and sing it.
I know.
But I pulled back from that horror.
Thank you.
You know, you might have been interested in this one, Buffalo Girls.
Buffalo Girls.
Malcolm McLaren. And one that I'm sure you did love, Save Your Love, Rene and Renata. And but, you know, there were lots of really good songs. There was also the theme from E.T. going on. E.T.
All Them Years Ago.
And the Human League had Mirror Man.
Like that one.
Yeah.
Oh, good one.
I got very introspective and I went into Nick's office to get some work done. Nick was the chief...
Crew person. Okay.
Crew man. In fact, there was another person there called Nick who was an electrician.
Nick.
There was me. The electrician was Nick.
Yeah.
And I was Fred.
Makes a lot of sense.
It does indeed. So I'd have been trying to get this essay written.
Oh, of course, yeah.
However, I didn't get very much done. I went to La Perla for tea.
Mm-hmm.
So that does make me think it might have been...
It's a matinee.
A matinee day.
Mystery solved.
I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? Women go and men follow. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover.
So I went for tea, read the magazine Drama that I had bought.
Of course.
And then I went back to the theatre. Dan and John, the stars of the show, came down and watched This Is Your Life with me. So Dan, that's Daniel Day-Lewis. And John was John Dougal. Not quite such a household name. They used to come down quite a bit and watch stuff. So, yes, it must have been a matinee day and we were all sitting...
You were waiting.
Waiting for the next show to start. But it was This Is Your Life.
Do we know who This Is Your
we
Life?
We do know who it was.
Excited.
I've noted this.
Tell.
It was Robert Carrier and it was absolutely grotesque. It was embarrassing.
Who the hell? I cannot even think. Who this person
Robert
is.
Robert Carrier, he was a chef, wasn't he?
Oh,
he was
of course
a really.
Was
he an American or.
Oh, I don't know.
I actually can almost feel my flesh crawling as I think about him.
Would we have had. Would it be Michael Aspel doing it at this time? Because we finished with Eamon Andrews, haven't we?
Had we finished with Eamon Andrews by 1983?
Another question. Questions. Oh, my God. Forget about the moon hanging. More important, has Michael Aspel...
This is a day full of questions, fraught with enigma. It is fraught with enigma.
What was the Australian programme? Is Michael Aspel doing it? Is
Can
there a
you
matinee?
Interpret that line? I mean...
No wonder you didn't get up till 10. It's too
much.
It
was exhausted. How was the argument with Helen resolved?
Exactly.
There is even more questions there.
Oh, man. All right.
Julian was not on the board this evening. So Julian was one of the electricians and he would have been working the lighting board.
Is that significant? Why have you noted that?
Well, I've noted that, I think, because I became obsessed with him, wanting to talk to him all the time. Because I don't think it was necessarily a sexual thing.
Not a passion, a crush.
No, not a passion. But I think him and one of the other electricians, known as BJ, would tease me mercilessly.
Okay.
And I loathed them and they made my life hell there at times.
Yeah.
They used to make me so angry.
Hmm.
So I think maybe he was there. You know that thing where you sort of need to try and prove yourself to people
that don't like you or
are somehow cruel to you and unkind.
Okay.
And I think it may have been that kind of like relationship.
You wanted his respect.
I wanted something from that man. Him and BJ that I never got. But they honestly, they could and they knew it. They could make me turn.
Oh.
Somewhere along the line, they obviously thought it was good fun.
Perhaps they were doing that voice that you did about
Are you suggesting I talk like that? Hi, Penny. Yeah, it was embarrassing.
All right, then. So you're in two sort of camps about this Julian being away. But
So I was obsessed with him at that, being on the board. I mean, he was what it meant was he was in the room. He was there all the time. So it was like, you know, I was just trying to talk to him.
Yeah.
I'm nice, really. I'm good. I'm a good person.
Love me.
Anyway, after the show, I went round to Kath's. Tim was back and Fanny and Phil were there. Fanny is Kath's sister. Phil was a friend of ours who I worked at the theatre with. Phil is going to India on Monday. I don't think I ever saw Phil again after that. No recollection of him coming back from India.
I presume
he must have done.
I'm hoping so. I'm lost in India.
Phil actually gave me a pair of trousers that I absolutely loved. They were sort of grey serge.
Mm.
And I used to wear them rolled up halfway up my leg.
Nice.
I loved them. They were very, very
good
nice.
Good old Phil.
Nice, sort of kind of loose. So he was going to India on Monday and that was kind of like a goodbye. I was in brilliant form this evening.
I'm so glad, because I was worried your confidence might have been dented by Julian and BJ.
By Julian, yeah, my need.
Oh, good. Well, now here you are. You've reclaimed the centre ground.
I was on brilliant form, and it actually seems like ages since I've been so on top of things. Apparently, I found myself very witty.
Okay.
That seems to be the thought that I went to sleep on.
Oh, I'm so
very
glad.
Witty. I think what's interesting here is it may well have been a day full of questions,
uh-huh.
but it ended on an answer.
Clearly.
I am perfect. I'm brilliant and I'm witty.
And so we come to the end of this episode of Quirk, a day in the year of a nobody. Thanks for listening and join me next week when Nicholas takes us on another rummage through his past.